Midwest Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. We appreciate you joining us. Hey, I think this is the last Saturday in September, isn't it, Kevin?
You know what? I haven't even looked at it that way.
Yeah, I think so. I was just thinking about that. Today is definitely the 25th of September, and we appreciate everybody joining us. As the announcement said, give us a call here with anything automotive related, and we're happy to talk to you about it. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. What are we talking about today?
That's a good question. Cars.
Cars, yeah. We're talking about cars and trucks and all the good things that go along with them. How tune-ups have changed and how it relates to your vehicle is one of the things we're actually talking about. Yeah.
Do they, I mean, honestly, do they even consider, say 2021 coming out, do they consider a tune-up on a car anymore?
Not really.
I don't know. They have intervals of replacing plugs or replacing this.
That is about the only tune-up component that you replace on a car anymore.
Well, that's why I was getting at this, because I was like, they don't really, it used to be like every 30,000 miles, you should come in for, you know, plug wires, blah, 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 but now they don't really.
Things last a lot longer.
Well, yeah, the plugs are made better and.
For most cars, there are still Chrysler's gone back to, as you know, a lot of times they're using copper plugs in theirs, which is every 30 still. And some of those motors some of the V8s have 16 spark plugs in them, two per cylinder. So there's all kinds of fun stuff going on out there. But for the most part, the only thing you replace is the plugs. Almost everything sets coil over. Sometimes you replace the little plug boots, which would be called the spark plug wire now, but it's like 6 inches long. You know, it's just a rubber boot that goes between the coil that goes on top of the spark plug and the spark plug. Most plugs in cars, like you said, are either platinum or iridium or, you know, double platinum, and they last 90 to 110,000 miles in there somewhere. That's 105 or 10 is about the most I think you're supposed to run one of those. That's quite a bit of mileage.
Well, sometimes you even take them out and them things even look good.
It's true. True. But you run long enough and you'll end up with a misfire.
That's will break down sooner or later.
They do. They do. So, and that's what we're trying to prevent always, you know, because having misfires causes other problems with cars. We see them driving around and issues here and there and stuff like that. So just items to definitely talk about. But the tune-up, properly speaking, no longer exists, I'd have to say. Traditionally, it included checking all of the ignition components, such as distributor cap, points, plugs, wires, points. Remember that?
I just was laughing. You remember the days of charging up the condenser and throwing it at somebody and it would release the charge?
Yeah. We used to do that a lot. Fun stuff. Probably not the best thing to do to somebody with a heart condition or something, but, you know, if you take a condenser and you take a spark plug and you'd crank the car over, spark plug wire, and you crank the car over and let it shock the condenser, it would charge up. And then when you threw it to somebody and they grabbed the wire and the body of the condenser, it would release the voltage. That's what condenser does.
But it wasn't that high of amperage back then, not compared to what cars put out amperage-wise now.
No. But it still would, it would let you know you're awake, right?
Yes.
It'd wake you right up. There's no question about it. So, but most technicians these days, especially younger guys, if you say points of condenser, they look at you with this weird stare.
Yeah, that's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, we went to electronic ignition, what, in the 70s? Yeah, a long time ago. And, you know, that's so people, and a little off here, but people ask me all the time, like what's going to happen to the automotive world when we go to, like, all electric cars? And I said, well, the same thing that's going now and same thing that's happened before, some people will leave the business because they don't stay in the curve, and some people will catch on and move forward with the business as far as you know, everything and stay attuned to it. Cars will, no matter what their power plants are, will always need some kind of service, repair, and maintenance. No question about it. But it's just the point that I was going to make. It's like in the 60s or 70s and early 80s. Remember when we went from carburetor to fuel injection, and everybody was like, oh, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, no, I don't want to work on that stuff. I don't know.
I thought it was sweet when we went to that.
Each step along the way has been
a good one.
A good, yeah, I think. Well, some things we did.
Well, there's a few things, but they were trying to make things better when they were.
We went from a carburetor to a variable Venturi. That was an interesting thing to be working on. Remember those, the Ford variable Venturis?
Yep.
Those were not easy to work on.
Well, there
on.
Was a few cars that came out in, like, what, the 50s or 60s that actually had mechanical fuel injection on them. them didn't work out near the end. Because the mechanical fuel injection was kind of like a carburetor. I mean, to a point that you had to maintain it like a carburetor, not like fuel injection, or, you know, the today's fuel injection where you're...
You were always adjusting it, had to dial it in, make it right. Yeah, to, you know, it didn't... just like carburetors, though, which... Carburetors were part of a tune-up. You had to adjust them, often set the air-fuel ratio, the mixture, the, you know, the, we were always doing something to get them correct, right?
Yes.
So there was a lot to be maintained when it came to maintenance of the ignition system and tuning the vehicle up on a regular basis. And like Kevin said, usually around 30,000 miles, which we click off 30,000 miles and, like, you know, folks doing 2 years regularly.
I don't even think it's 2 years anymore.
Well, it depends on what they're doing as far as work and how far.
I mean, honestly, if you go on a couple trips, I mean, and not very far. I mean, if you went to Utah a couple times in a year and then do normal back and forth, though, you might have 25,000 miles on your car. I mean, and Utah's not that far away from here.
Yeah, well.
I was just picking that place just because, you know, it's just a quick jaunt across the desert. You know what I mean?
Well, it's but not a quick jaunt. I mean,
you know what I mean, though.
Going up to Salt Lake, you're probably going to drive for 8 hours.
But that's what I'm saying. If you did a couple trips, like, and it's not that far, and you did a couple, it don't take long to put 20, 25,000 miles on a car anymore.
Correct. Most people on average run around 15,000 to 18,000 a year. That's the average.
That's probably just going back and forth to work, though. Just dropping the kids off at school kind of.
I don't know. I'm just saying on average, that's what most people's cars. There are some people that drive 25, 30,000 miles a year, but they're not the norm. That's for sure.
No. And traveling salesmen aren't like they used to be in any way, so you don't see the mileage on a car like that anymore.
No, everybody sits at their home computer now and does all their work.
Yep.
So, one of those things. Not everybody, obviously. There's a lot of us that can't work from home. Be hard to work on a car at home. Or multiple cars at home. For an older person, it would, without a hoist, let me tell you. I'm not big on crawling around on the ground at all, so... As I used to when I was a younger feller.
Right.
I was fine with that. I'm not so fine with that anymore. I'm not doing that no more. So, back to, I mean, the things that have changed along the way. And like we were talking, some for the better, you know. So we went from carburetors to variable Venturis. They didn't work very well. And they had some mechanical fuel injection, but I think they had mechanical fuel injection in the 50s.
They might have. I don't really. Yeah. I know it was around for a while. It just never got used because it was a very... It was very needy. How about that?
Well, as with carburetor, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do know they used some of that mechanical injection stuff for some of the race boats and things like that too. But they could dial it in right before the race, and then it ran well. And then
is something different, anyways. Because even on newer trucks, and even with the new race trucks and stuff out in the desert and stuff, even when they're running computers and stuff, they still
still have to adjust them.
Yes.
Different things on them, but they're obviously running the vehicle in a way that you don't when you're on the street. So regardless of the fact that so many things and changes have come along, and that's where I was going with this. People talk about electric cars that mostly for the better. You know, people say cars are very difficult today. Well, they are if you don't have the equipment or the knowledge to work on them, for sure. But if you do, cars today have a lot more advantages than they did like in the 80s when computers and we started controlling everything with a computer, which was mostly emissions and fuel control. They were trying to control with a computer initially, you know, in the 80s. the diagnostic techniques were quite rudimentary, for sure. So it took a lot of time, a lot of pen testing, checking voltages and resistances and all kinds of great things that to determine where the failure was or what was failing. The best you could get out of a check engine light then was, like with GM, you put the little probe in and it flash out the codes. Remember that?
I know. I still have one of those tools somewhere where you would just put it in the GM's first or their second diagnostic. Yeah,
it's on my key ring to my roller cabinet.
Yeah, we just shove it in there and get the blink
start
lights.
Flashing out. Yeah, those were the good old days, man. And if you didn't count right, you had to start all over because you're like, I don't think I counted right.
And you know what? Normally, even if you did count right, you always counted again just to make sure.
Yeah. In today's technology where we have bilateral controls and everything else, we can actually sit and with a car plugged in and to the right diagnostic equipment. And, you know, a lot of times we use laptops and software and different things depending on the car or whatever kind of scanner we're using. And you can test things on a vehicle. You can operate them, such as run the EVAP system test. You know, you can all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, even with Bluetooth, you don't have to have the wire no more neither. So it's easier. You know, you plug in. You could always take the scanner to the front thing, but now it's just much easier. You can walk over there and tap on the sensor while you're testing it, whatever. It just makes things easier.
There's a lot of things you can do. And like I said, it just makes, I think, life has gotten a lot easier when it comes to that. But the point to that is everything's always changing. So, and when I say it's easier, that's only because if you have the information and you know what you're doing, it's easier now. There's not so much pen testing. There's not so much breaking out sensors from the system, et cetera. Life is, there's a lot more data available. And if you know what you're doing, you can work through it. And just seems to me like a better system.
Everything's better. Even the engines. I mean, look. 200,000 miles on an engine is nothing anymore. 200,000 in an engine in 1970?
It did most of them. 100,000.
That didn't normally happen.
Yeah, 100,000 was the max, so for sure. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. Give us a call here if you have anything automotive-related. Today we're talking about, you know, how tune-ups relate to vehicles and items like that. We're kind of doing a little sidebar about the fact how vehicles are changing and questions people have about, you know, what's going to happen as vehicles become all electric. I personally do not believe that vehicles will become all electric, all vehicles. I know that there was a law signed into California about that. When is it? 2035 or something? I don't know. 2034 or something like that. I don't remember.
I don't remember what the date was, but I remember it was like 15 years or 20 years.
15 years maybe.
Or something after that they signed it in that it would be all electric.
Well, that they will only sell all electric. You don't have to get rid of your car at that point.
Well, this is the weird thing, though. Even if you're a total environmentalist or you know what I mean, there something's got to be gasoline. I mean, it's or you know what I mean? Just remotely construction or something. I don't see how they can make everything go that way. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also different things that have to do with how electricity is produced and stuff. We can chat about that. We're going to have to take our break here in just a second, but we can definitely chat about that if we decide we want to. Give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related you want to talk about, we're going to take our first break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Kevin, stop messing with the mic.
It was loose.
Your mic was loose.
I went this position and then just
loose mic. It dropped down on you. All the way down. Anyway, all right, folks, give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified for 28 years, taking care of folks up there in North County. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and smog certified, taking care of folks out there in East County for over 8 years. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in central San Diego over there. Taking care of folks for over 4 years, AAA approved and smog certified. And last but not least, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road, right here in the Golden Triangle. AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks over there for over 2 years now. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Sure.
All four of those. Sure. All four of those locations are part of the West Automotive Group, of course. And all of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio, as we all believe in the same philosophy, and that is we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. We use this a lot to help folks out. You can put repairs on one of these cards from us, and every time you use it, you can use the 6 months, and it saves you from having to come up with money right away, right? And it doesn't put it on your other cards, and it's just a good thing to do. And like I said, 6 months paid off, there's no interest. It's a nice breather for folks, so that's why we offer it. You can also get in and take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis, along with our free shuttle rides to or from work or home, and low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations available. Yes, if you think you're having a transmission problem, get in and let us diagnose it, or at least give you a second opinion. We get a lot of vehicles that folks think need a transmission, and it's not a transmission. It's something else causing the feeling. So we like to make sure and verify, and we want to make sure that you're not throwing parts at a vehicle. As I often tell folks, the best money spent is money spent on a qualified diagnosis at a quality facility with a certified technician. So that's why we go through these steps to make sure, and often it saves you a ton of money. So one of those things. You can also go to westautomotivegroup.com and you can make appointments, check us out, etc. That's westautomotivegroup.com. But you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by going to westautomotivegroup.com, and right there. You can also click on the Automan segments, where it takes you to our YouTube page, and you can see all the Automan segments. I am the Automan on Fox 5 and the CW, and you can check those out. And they get posted each week as they're on the news. So if you miss it, you can go there and check them out. Sneeze.
God bless you.
Then also, you can also click on Auto Talk Radio, where we podcast all of our Auto Talk segments there. Also on our little YouTube channel. So not YouTube, that's a podcast page. But and you can also, if you want to pick up the podcast anytime, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and tune in. And you can pick up the podcast there. Just put in the Answer San Diego 1170, and it'll bring up, and click on Auto Talk, and all the podcasts are right there for downloading too. So all kinds of great places as far as that goes. Just go to westautomotivegroup.com if you want to check everything out, and you can do so from there. And like I said, make appointments for all locations, etc. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. That's autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. For any questions or anything that you have, just give us a shout, right?
Yep.
All right. So 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, give us a shout. We'll talk to you about it. So we're talking today about
tune-ups.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to open my email here.
You should print these things out like I do.
Well, it's not like I really need to look at it. I do.
You never know. Then you know what we're talking about.
Well, I try to stay on top of the game. That's why I try to look at it. But sometimes my phone just says, nope, it ain't happening today.
One of those things. So, yeah, initially, like we were talking in the 60s and 70s, distributor caps, plug wires, spark plugs, 30,000 miles. I mean, that's when they needed to be replaced. They broke down. They wore out. They had issues. Points and condenser prior to that. Used to set the points all the time. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, fun stuff.
You know what? Because I remember when I moved back to California, we're working on bugs again, and I had to relearn how to, I mean, not relearn how to, but it had been a while since I seen, you know, a few years since I seen points.
Well, we were in high school in the 80s, so most cars had gone to electronic ignition, but there were still quite a few cars running around that had points. So
I can say the car I was driving back and forth to school had points in it.
You driving back and forth?
That 71 Ford pickup truck.
Oh. Well, didn't you have a Pinto at first?
Yeah, that one had electronic ignition. I had that one for like a month.
Yeah, you crashed it.
Some lady pulled out in front of me. I was doing like 35 mile an hour. She just comes straight out of a parking lot.
That does happen.
T-bone. Ding.
The Pinto was no more, was it?
No, that was a fun car, too.
Yeah. You got the car that Dad brought that car brand new from Ford.
That was in the gas crunch when he bought that. That's when he sold his Blazer, this 35 or 38 inch mudder tires.
Yeah. Bought a Pinto. It was a good idea. Saving money.
Well, he tried riding his motorcycle back and forth to work. He didn't like that.
No. Wasn't much fun. Huh?
Well, no, he worked downtown, though, so I'm not sure I'm going to be running around downtown on the motorcycle all the time either. So.
Very true. So on newer engines even, so, you know, back then you'd set the points condenser, then you had to set the timing, and you set the idle, and then all that. I mean, all of this came in, and there was procedures for doing so, and adjust the air fuel ratio and all the, boy, there was a lot to do. Huh.
Yeah.
So lots of things that do.
Well, I was thinking, you know, back in the day, putting head gasket on a car, you spent more time getting that car. Once you got everything back together, you spent more time adjusting everything to get it to run right than you did actually doing everything. Now with the computers and everything, you get everything bolted back together, it kind of resets itself.
Correct. So, and sticking with the fact of the change of this, and like we were talking about electric cars too, but one of the things, and before we went to break, I was going to mention this when we came back. You talk about electric cars and environmentally friendly, and yes, you do change some aspects, but there's still a lot of things on full electric cars or not. So it's funny because plugging a car into the wall, that electricity has to come from somewhere. Most of it comes from the burning of natural gas to produce it.
I was going to say coal.
Well, we don't have a lot of coal plants anymore. But
we're running out of coal. That's.
I don't know that's true.
Well, either. I shouldn't say we're running out, but at least the spots that I've seen when we were kids, they're not mining around any of that property anymore.
There's less coal mines, that's for sure. I will give you that. And things like strip mining kind of destroys the land, but then they started years ago. We grew up in Ohio, and they did a lot of strip mining in southern Ohio, but in the beginning when they were strip mining, they just leave it and it looked terrible.
Yeah, but
then they started reclaiming the land, and what they do is they'd grade it out and grass and trees, they'd plant stuff, and then, you know, it grew back. I mean, it did, so...
I was going to say, do you remember them old ones where they didn't even cover the caverns, where they just leave them wide open and leave their old equipment there? When we were kids, we'd go down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of that done. So then environmentally, they decided that wasn't nice, so they started cleaning all that stuff up when they were done. They had to, so, which, you know, makes a big thing. Well, I was up in Idaho on a ride. There was there, and we came across it. They turned it into a museum, but one of the largest gold drudges was there. And when they got done, they just left it there.
All the equipment's just sitting there rusting.
Well, it's just one big drudge. This thing is humongous.
Oh, is it?
It was a gold drudge with these big buckets on it. And the history was all there, but they turned it into a museum.
Oh, okay.
But it was left there originally in 19, I don't know, during the gold rush times.
It's too expensive to move it at that point.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was going to say to get it out of there would have been something else, but it was humongous. But it was kind of cool to see. But for the most part, there's stuff left all over the place in this world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was one of those things. All right, folks, give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. No matter what, as times change, and we know cars have changed, that's one of the things that we're talking about, you know, tune-ups, do they exist? And we really shot to the top in the beginning and started saying, hey, you know, pretty much we replace spark plugs. There are some filters you need to check, obviously, if a car. But now even there's several cars that don't have replaceable fuel filters, huh? They're in the tank.
My truck doesn't have one. Yeah. My big truck.
It's part of the fuel pump.
Yes.
And when it goes south?
If it goes south.
You got to do what?
Replace it.
What? That's a given. How do you get to it? To
I got to take the. I got to either take the bed of the truck off, or I got to take the fuel tank off.
That's it. Out. Yeah, exactly.
One of the two. I will say one thing though. I try not to go below a quarter tank of gas in my vehicles, just because the fuel does help lubricate the pump. So
well, not only that, it cools the pump too.
Yes, too.
The electric fuel pump suspended in the tank is, and when you keep it submerged underneath. Over the fuel pump, it helps keep the fuel pump cool and will extend the life of the pump for sure.
And normally I can get to 250,000 miles out of electric fuel pump that way.
Correct. People that run them low all the time and putting $5 of fuel in their car, they're the ones that end up buying fuel pumps usually.
Because it runs hot. It doesn't cool it. It doesn't
correct.
It doesn't lubricate it. It doesn't, you know, I mean, there's 100 things that the fuel's doing.
It wears it out. Wears it out for sure. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, give us a shout. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Everybody out there sleeping this morning? I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other battery at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. They're also the number one recommended battery by technicians worldwide. So if you need a battery for your vehicle, hop on westautomotivegroup.com. We'll get you an Interstate installed. You can make an appointment and we'll get you an Interstate installed in your vehicle. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. They are the right battery, are they not, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I got in my car.
Say, really? It's the only thing about it. That's what I got in all my motorcycles too. Interstate Batteries. Good stuff. For sure. Okay, so we're talking about tune-ups and everything else, and we kind of talked about this sliding into all-electric cars someday. I got to be honest with you, we'll probably be retired. I mean, I'll be like 77 years old when that law comes into effect. So,
you know what? I think there's a certain things electric would probably be good. I mean, everything has its – I mean, there's times where I think that – if we had one gasoline car and one electric car, we could do fine in our family that way too. You know what I'm saying? If you're just using one to run back and forth to work in, electric's fine. But it does still cause environmental damage. It's not like it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you still have to put tires on the car. You still have to make batteries for the car. It's got to have electricity produced somewhere to charge the batteries. I mean, so, you know, there's all...
There's going to be things that need to be fixed, yes. Always.
And if I thought it was a foolproof way, I mean, don't get me wrong, and we all like the environment too. If I thought it was foolproof that we went this way, but it's not foolproof. It's just a different.
Well, computers are all electric, you know, like your computer, desk computer or whatever computers. You always got to be fixing those, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't bounce down the road.
Well, they don't like to get hot neither. Servers do not like to run warm, do they?
No. And cars, so we have to build cars. I don't care if they're electric or whatever. That they put up with extreme heat, extreme cold, right?
Yes.
All these different things that go along with a car. And it bounces down the road and jiggles and hits potholes and all these things. It's truly amazing that cars don't have more problems than they do with all the computers and stuff we put on them, right?
Yes.
So just one of those things that, you know, when you look at it and think about it, it's like putting wheels on your... How long would your computer under your desk last if you put wheels on it and start dragging it down the road with a cord or something?
Not very long. Just like, you know that grade on the 10, like when you're leaving like Palm Springs up, the thing where it says turn off your AC and all stuff to keep your car cool? Well, when people pass me on that hill doing like 110, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even want to walk up this hill alone. I'm thinking what my car's going through when I'm smashing the throttle on it trying to...
Yeah, cars are amazing what they actually go through, and cars and trucks and vehicles without braking.
Exactly.
It amazes me, you know, sometimes. So, and things that we see on vehicles and things that happen and people, you know, but ignorance is bliss, I think, because I know, like, if I hear a car and somebody's driving, it's like making a weird noise and they know nothing about cars. Here's my thought, like, they could probably drive that for quite a while doing that. Now, if my car made that noise and I knew what it was right away, it would break like right away. That's just how things work, because I would know better than to be driving it like that, right? Other people, they don't know better. They just keep on driving. I mean, how many times does a car go by you and you go, oh, mercy?
How many times have I driven someone's car and I was like, that's the noise you want? No, that one's been banking forever.
Oh, so that's fine. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah, I'd be worried about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I think your wheel's about to fall off. That's a wheel bearing, and that's a bad, bad noise. No, that's not that noise. It's the squeak in the dash I'm worried about. Yeah. Well, it doesn't work that way. For us, once we hear it, it can't be unheard. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Once you see it, it can't be unseen. So it is what it is. So anyway, 1-888-344-1170. We're here to talk about anything automotive related. All right, let's grab Dan in Poway. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing okay.
What you got going on?
I had a question. It's been a while since I had to have a car smogged.
Sure.
And I just had it, got to notice, and it says they have to go to a star station versus a regular smog. And I just wondered the difference there, and do they do a more involved test at a star station versus regular smog?
No, it's the same exact test, to be honest with you. So the state... the best way to put this. So the state before, we've gone through all different changes with the smog program, obviously. And what they have now is just smog test and repair stations. They have smog test only stations. And then they have star stations, which are qualified to certify any vehicle. Star stations are, pretty much, and that's why it says a star required. It's just a state kind of controlling data. You have to be a star station, you have to have a specific report card your technicians and the shop does on smogging cars properly and diagnosing cars properly and repairs and all that to stay star certified. So they send certain cars to star stations just to know. I guess the best answer is that they're being tested properly, inspected properly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, and that's why. But yeah, so and actually, out of the West Automotive Group, two of our facilities are Star, Escondido, yeah, and then Miramar, and the other two are just test and repair. The other thing is, the reason our other two are only test and repair is that you have to have a bar 97 machine, and maybe this is going a little, the one with the dyno, the older one, to be a star station. Whereas our Kearney Mason El Cajon locations, we don't have that machine there, so we can only test 2000 and newer vehicles. So therefore, we can't be a star station at those locations unless we put in the machine. The older machine with the dyno is very expensive, so we elected to not do that at those two locations.
I see.
That makes sense. So yeah. Really just need to find a star station and go to. But, yeah, that's kind of the difference in a nutshell. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does. Could I ask one more question?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm an older folk from the cars, when you know, in the 60s, the muscle cars and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Nowadays, when you open the hood of a car, it's just a big, looks like a big plastic. And, you know, you don't see the engine. Do those things provide any function other than maybe just keeping dirt off the engine?
The covers, just to make it look pretty. I mean, for the most part, they really don't do anything.
They do a little bit for noise.
Some of those big covers have a little bit of foam on the underside of them, so they do keep some of the noise like out of the cabin. They can deaden some of the noise, but if you were to take it off the vehicle, would it cause it to run any different? Absolutely not. You might get a little more engine noise inside, but other than that, that's about the only function that they provide.
Yeah, because I'm used to seeing all the detail of the engine and that stuff, but now it's like...
Well, and nowadays, what you would see, you take that off anyway, and I'm sure, like a big plastic intake and maybe some fuel injectors, and everything looks so much different from what it used to.
Or carburetors. Right?
Yeah, you won't find one of those on any cars, today.
So. Not nowadays, for sure.
Correct. But yeah, that's what it's there for.
All right.
Hey, Dan, we appreciate your calls and your questions, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, no problem. Enjoy it. Enjoy your show. Thanks.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye. But good question. What are those all there for? Are they important? The covers?
Well, I mean...
No.
Yeah, no.
Just for sound deadening. I mean, some of them. Yes, correct. Some of them are just plastic with nothing on them, and they're just there.
Yeah.
It makes it look nice.
I can tell you this, though. The manufacturer, they ain't going to spend money unless they have to. And so that thing is in there for a reason. I'm not really quite sure. I never really cared why, but
makes it look good. I'm telling you.
I just know in the end, the corporation is not going to spend money unless they have to.
But that just completes the engine. That's why they put it on. I'm just telling you, how can you take it off? Will it make any difference? No. Doesn't make any difference at all.
Well, we probably, because you remember.
A lot of them don't have deadening material on it, a sound deadening
material. Yeah, but a lot of, just like the new high pressure fuel pumps, they've been wrapping them with foam and then they put the piece of plastic over top or something like that. That's that's what they're doing to try to deaden the noise. So, is it working? Nah.
Well, somewhat. They're spending money on it. They must think it's working. but the function is to do that. But I mean, the vehicle will run without it, but it looks way nicer with that cover on there.
Well, it looks cleaner. Cause you remember back in the '80s, dude, it was all vacuum lines and wires. And
that was when we were really tightening up on emissions everywhere. And we were trying to run everything with solenoids and vacuum lines and everything else crazy going all over. It was ridiculous. So one of those things for sure. Very, very always interesting. And,
I just knew a little brace going from the intake to the motor block, and sometimes people don't think them or anything, but it can cause a vibration. Remember the old straight six Fords?
Because the intake was hanging off the side of it, and so therefore it would vibrate. You're right, without question. Folks, give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Just like Dan, anything automotive related, we don't care. We'll talk to you about it if you have questions. Anything interesting you want to discuss, or just like the covers on the motor, how important are they? But you're right. Some of those cars, like you probably removed that ones with the deadening material on them, and then the noise probably gets a lot louder. So what happened with that car, I think, is when they engineered it, they finished it and they drove it around and the dude was like, hey, this thing makes noise.
I think that's, I think some things, and when they finish up someone, they're just trying, at that point, they're just little things and they're just trying to get the car out the door at that point.
Correct.
I mean, I could say it in a lot longer words, but we don't have time for that. So take it for what it is.
Longer words. All right. So we're talking about tune-ups, how they relate to vehicles. So really what it comes down to, and we mentioned this, is really replacing spark plugs on cars. Some spark plug boots. Some do still have spark plug wires that come from the coil and almost nothing has a distributor anymore. There might be one or two cars out there that do. But most cars do not. I know some late model Nissan pickup trucks did. I was trying to think of anything else that I know of that had a distributor cap and rotor. But they don't have any points. There's nothing adjustable in them. A lot of them, you can't even set the timing anymore.
I don't even know if they run the dummy plugs ones. You remember how back in the day they would, because they lost the distributor, so they would still run like a dummy shaft because it actually ran off the camshaft to the oil pump.
But there was no distributor cap or rotor.
No, what I meant is I don't even think they do that anymore, though.
No, everything's changed pretty much 100%. And most everything is direct. So either a coil pack or direct over a coil over.
And Ford used to use their dummy plug and put their cam sensor on it. And then it would have that, you'd come in and it'd be like, squeak, 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 because the sensor would start squeaking on it.
Or just blow up and blow apart. Yep, seen plenty of that. Seen plenty of that, for sure. But yes, so a lot of different things on cars, but really what it comes down to is there's minimal maintenance when it comes to tuning a vehicle anymore. So if something's gone haywire, or uses a sensor that's failed, and you get a check engine light, and the vehicle's not driving properly. So maintenance-wise, you know, replace the spark plugs, replace the air filter when need be, replace the fuel filter if it's replaceable at certain mileage intervals, and that's your tune pretty much, right?
Yes.
You don't get much more out of it than that. Spark plugs definitely last for longer periods than they used to. Like I said, 30,000 miles used to be. Everything used to be kind of a copper core plug back in the day. Now we have, like we were saying, iridium and platinum and double platinum and all that great stuff.
See, it makes me wonder why Chrysler went back to the copper. I mean, what engineer decided that? I mean, and I'm sure he had a good reason for what he did. Well, why did he do it?
He's designed that motor and goes, let's go retro.
But I mean, something happened there where, I mean, maybe the car wasn't running right and he was just looking for a better idle or something. I don't know.
Gotcha. You never know. Hey, let's grab Karen real quick in a home wall. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm okay. I'm driving right now, hands-free.
Okay. well, put your hands back on the wheel. Don't drive hands-free.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just talking about I didn't touch my cell phone.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I have a 2011 Honda CR-V.
Okay.
And it has 85,000 miles on it, and I believe that they used to recommend that the timing belt or chain, whatever it has, get replaced at 90,000. But these newer models on the Hondas in the manual, it really doesn't tell you when to do anything anymore. And so I have two questions. When should I plan on having that done? And two, they always, always say you got to replace the water pump at the same time, because if you don't, then it'll cost more to replace it later, and it's close enough to when it would need to be replaced that you should just go ahead and get it done.
Okay, let's start with the timing belt first. This car doesn't have it. That car doesn't have a timing belt.
Okay.
Honda's changed on a lot of their, and a lot of manufacturers have, some still do, but that vehicle has a timing chain, and we don't worry about timing chains unless something starts to go wrong with them. So there is no maintenance to be done as far as in that area of that with the timing chain or belt. So you don't have to worry about that. What, I'm sorry, and your second question was on a maintenance item. Were you talking about coolant?
No, I was talking about the water pump. When you have the timing chain replaced, they always seem to recommend that you get the water pump replaced at the same time.
Yeah, so when we used to, and that was with timing belts. When it was a belt, a lot of cars, the water pump was run by the timing belt. So at that same time we're in there, we placed a water pump. That was a smart thing to do. The reason why is two things often happen if you didn't. One is you put the new belt on, and it the new tensioning of the new belt changes the stress pressure on the water pump pulley itself, and then it starts to leak is what would happen. So then you got to spend all the labor to go back in and fix it. So to do it properly, whenever, if you do have a vehicle with timing belt that has a water pump run by or sometimes is behind the timing belt, we recommend to replace it along with it, along with the tensioners and idlers and all the other things that go along with a timing belt. So that is correct.
Okay, so I don't have a big expense automatically coming up when I hit 90,000.
No, ma'am, you do not on that vehicle. Like I said, it is a chain, so you don't need to worry about it. It'll go way past 90,000 miles, and it's not something that we replace for maintenance.
Okay, and last question.
Sure.
So this is not the type of engine that if the timing chain breaks, it's going to kill my engine?
It probably would if the timing chain breaks, but timing chains don't typically break. So what will happen with the time, and when this does happen, it's usually higher mileage, up around 200,000. If one of the guides starts to wear and the timing chain can't be tensioned properly, it won't usually break. It'll start making noise, you'll end up taking it in. Somebody will diagnose it and say, oh, it's going to need the chain replaced now. So it's not real common for a timing chain to break.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, no problem. Uh-huh. Thanks for listening. You have a wonderful day and be safe out there.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye. So that really good question. Really good question for sure.
Yeah, timing chains don't normally break. Normally it's the tensioners. The tensioner or the guides.
And usually the chain doesn't break. So then they start rattling and making noise. They start maybe running a little rough. You take it in, we diagnose it, and we say, okay,
or
got to go in.
Gets too much slack and it jumps a tooth or whatever.
But usually that's after it's been making noise for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't normally.
No. So. One of those cases, again, where you hear the car drive by, and I think, if I was driving around like that, my car would surely be broken if it was mine. But somebody's still driving, and I don't know how. So that's where it's important to pay attention to the noise that your vehicle makes, because one of those things that definitely make a difference and can save you money in the long run as far as that goes. But, you know, it is what it is, right? So, for sure. All right, so we've been talking about, you know, and I got to be honest with you, with TuneUp, just like the questions that Karen asked with her timing belt, as far as, like, replacing spark plugs, follow manufacturer's recommended intervals. Now, something that I want to be very clear on and mention to folks is doing things properly are extremely important when you're dealing with a vehicle as far as that goes. And what I'm talking about is quite a few Fords, like the Ford trucks, the 5.4s and stuff. If you did not anti-seize and torque the spark plugs properly, you know, you just put them in there and they're not tight enough, they come loose and they rip the threads out of the head, remember?
Well, that was also a good reason to replace the plugs on the intervals, because it kept you torquing and retorquing them.
And a little early. Actually, so the plugs on those were 100,000 miles, and I usually recommended to do them like 90, 95 is my recommendation, which is close to the 100,000. But you get in there early, you get them out, you clean all the stuff out of the spark plug wells, and you put new plugs in, and you torque them to factory specs, and they'll go another 90,000 without problems. You over-torque them, you stretch the threads. You under-torque them, they come loose, they bobble around till they yank the threads out.
Well, normally, I think that's what it was, is people didn't replace their plugs, and they would just, let's face it, even if you torque something, because the head is made out of aluminum, the spark plug's made out of steel, so hot, cold, they expand and contract different. They're going to loosen up after time anyway, so that's why the best thing you can do is before the interval, get it done. That way you can put inserts in those heads, but normally, a lot of times, sometimes the inserts won't hold and you have to pull the head off. So it can be very costly, not just to replace your spark plugs.
Very true. Very true. So just one of those things for sure. Let's see here as we're rolling it down. Let's grab Bruce real quick in Carlsbad. You there, Bruce?
I am here. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. You wanted to mention something about the
yes, the hood, the shield, the engine shield.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I did read, for what it's worth, that the engines run so hot nowadays. It's there also to protect the paint on the hood. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think some of them probably have to do with airflow around the motor too a bit. I was thinking about that, but. Yeah, that does make sense, and keep shoving the heat down so it goes out the bottom of the car versus and protects it from the hood.
It could even be like airstream.
A bit. And that's what I'm saying, airflow. But yes, you are correct, because motors run a lot hotter these days. We're often running engines up 240, 250 degrees in that area. So.
Yep. And then also you were talking about the fuel injection, and specifically that was came out in – the Chevrolet products, all Chevrolets could get them, including the Corvette, 1957, the 283. And of course, anybody that owns one of those.
And that was a mechanical fuel injection.
Yes, it was.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of people took them off because they had so many problems with them.
It was hard to keep them adjusted properly, like Kevin said, and you are correct about that. It was a struggle for sure.
Okay, and then how about this one from a former show you were talking about? You like those auto-dimming headlights that all the cars have now, upper-end cars?
Yep.
That's nothing new. That was you would see those on upper-level CADs, like the Eldorado and the Oldsmobile, like the Starfire 98s, in 1953. They were set up on the left-hand side of the dash, and people always wonder what that odd-looking cube was. It was called Autronic Eye.
Correct. Hey, Bruce, we're going to have to run. We got like 30 seconds left. We appreciate you calling in and being a part. San Diego and everybody else out there, we truly appreciate you joining Auto Talk Radio with us this morning. And we look forward to be back next Saturday with you. As always, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. And everybody just stay tuned, and we'll be back next Saturday. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise.
Answers to all your automotive questions. Tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.